Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to be talking about how to help attorneys with raising their profiles through industry associations and events. Our guest today is Michael Gianovese. Michael is the Client Relations Director in the Los Angeles office of Kimball, Tyree, and St. John, a California-based real estate law firm with a concentration on landlord-tenant law. Michael has close to 15 years' experience in professional services marketing and business development. And during the time at his firm, he's helped many attorneys, as well as himself, raise their profiles through association involvement. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you, Guy. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being on the show. It's a pleasure to have you. So before we get started on the topic, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? How did you get started in the world of legal marketing?
I think like most of my peers in legal marketing and business development, if we went to college, we didn't think, we were going to end up in marketing and business development for law firms. So I guess long story short, I more or less fell into it. About 15, 16 years ago, I got my first job in professional services marketing. I worked for a consultancy for home builders that was also a sister company of a construction defect law firm. So I worked there for a couple years. And then with the downturn in the economy, and everybody remembers 2007, 2008, I was between jobs. I then got my next position at a creditor protection law firm in the San Fernando Valley area of Los Angeles. I worked there for close to 8 years in two different stints, and that's what really kind of got me on my way as far as business development and professional services marketing, even more so. And then I've been at my current firm, Kimball, Tyree, and St. John, for close to 5 years now, and I've really been enjoying the ride and look forward to many more great years.
Excellent. That's a great story. So let's talk a little bit about how lawyers can really raise their profile through industry association and events. You know, how does a lawyer's participation in an association, you know, either by joining a committee or being a volunteer, how can that help a lawyer to get noticed?
I think it can help them in several ways. Because first of all, I think, you know, most associations, if they're, you know, really want to continue and be successful, they want to be welcoming. Most people, when they join an association, they're hopefully going to feel welcomed, and association, you know, directors, they're happy that especially attorneys want to get involved. And usually, you know, the reason for that is because of their knowledge and of how they can be of service to the other members within the association. So it's been my experience. I've seen attorneys at my own firm. I mean, yeah, sometimes they obviously may need a little bit of a push as far as, you know, getting involved, but I think they've definitely have reaped the benefits as far as getting involved with associations where our clients are also a part of. There are also associations that, you know, prospective members or prospective clients are also, you know, potentially going to be there. So I think it's just really a win-win as far as wanting to get involved. I think the most important thing is to communicate with the association, ask where their needs are and what they're looking for as far as their members. And that, you know, can really kind of shed light and kind of give you the trail that you need to begin that ride with the association.
How would you recommend a lawyer go about finding the right association? Does it have to do with their geography? Does it have to do with their area of practice? Is there something else that a lawyer should consider when trying to find the right association to become a member of or to become a volunteer of?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. I think number one, if it's an attorney or if it's at a firm that has a marketing and business development department, certainly talking, you know, internally with those resources that you have with, you know, your marketing and BD teams, it may be other partners or attorneys at the firm that also have some knowledge. And one thing that's also worked well for me, although I'm not an attorney, but I do attend events and have been involved with associations, is that I ask our clients and even prospective clients that the associations that they're typically involved with and have been involved with, because obviously if they're a member of this association, there's probably a reason for it. And I mean, usually you can get some pretty good feedback from clients about their experience. So to answer your question, I think you want to definitely reach out to your internal resources that you have at your firm, but then also I think talk to your external resources, which are usually your existing clients and maybe prospective clients.
Makes perfect sense. And, you know, sometimes I've heard lawyers say, well, I wanted to join this association, but, you know, these other lawyers were already volunteering or they had other lawyers as part of the committee. In your mind, should that matter to a lawyer, whether or not he joins an association, if there's other lawyers already that are a part of it?
This is a good question. I think that's certainly something comes up. I don't think that should, you know, steer somebody away from not participating and getting active. I think it's just maybe you have to kind of think, you know, where is your edge? How is, you know, your background and skill set and capabilities? Maybe the firm you work for is maybe slightly different, or maybe the, how they approach things is different. I think also, you know, you can kind of see a history of, you know, maybe if these attorneys are involved with an association, you can certainly find out, you know, what their past webinars, maybe that they've done, maybe articles that they've done. See what's already been done and see where you can possibly come in and maybe have a new angle or maybe update something that hasn't been updated in a while, or things that your questions that you're getting from clients, try to incorporate that so that you can kind of stand out from maybe other attorneys that maybe are also active with this association. I know for myself, there are associations that, you know, it's great. You know, I go to an event in terms of involvement, we're the only firm there. And obviously I'm appreciative of that, but I don't take that, you know, lightly. And so I think in any case, I, you know, I'm going to continue to put myself out there, find out, you know, how myself and our firm can be of service and be a resource for the members and, you know, continue to be active, be involved. I think, you know, one of the biggest mistakes is, you know, for somebody, they go in advance, they see that there's other attorneys there from other firms and maybe they don't go again. So I think, you know, and I'm sure we'll probably hit on this in a bit, but I think consistency as far as your involvement and being regularly active and not just, you know, coming once every, you know, 6 months or once a year, I think is also important and to be mindful of as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, as the old saying goes, you get out of something what you put into it. So if you're just joining and then never showing up or really, you know, doing anything for the association, you're probably going to get very little value out of that.
That has come up internally. And I think with the attorneys that I work with that I've helped to coach, I know sometimes they'll say exactly that. And I kind of have to steer them again and understand where, you know, we're coming from. And I think they get it, but sometimes they just need to be reminded of it.
Makes perfect sense. So talk about how an attorney can provide value to an association, maybe through speaking or through writing articles. You know, what have, in your experience, have your attorneys done that, you know, associations have really valued?
Yeah, I think they've done several things. I mean, the firm I work for, as I think you mentioned in the intro, we concentrate on landlord-tenant law. So we've definitely been impacted by the past 2 years of the pandemic because of the regulations and everything else that's been in place that makes our clients' lives more difficult. And obviously it makes our firm's life a little bit more difficult as well. So we've been given some really great opportunities as far as speaking, providing legal updates to some of the associations that we're active with, because the members, if they're, you know, property managers and the management, you know, their agents, their landlords, they need to be kept abreast of what's going on and what cases can or cannot go forward. So I certainly encourage all attorneys that are comfortable with doing so, you know, to be able to, you know, offer themselves as public speakers. You also hit upon, you know, articles and providing education to clients as well as, you know, members to associations is really critical as far as just, you know, keeping your name out there, keeping the firm name out there. Again, it's all about, I think, being a resource to those within, you know, the industries that you serve. So I, you know, would certainly encourage that. Actually, we have several attorneys that have become board members of the associations that we are active with. And because of that, they, you know, they really know the ins and outs of that association. They're given priority, I think, as far as, you know, being able to provide content in some form. And that's really, you know, turned out well for them. You know, I will say, though, it's a lot of work sometimes getting involved with an association, and you certainly don't want to overpromise. So I think the most important thing is, you know, is to manage those expectations and, you know, don't take on that too much so that you, you know, you possibly let down somebody at an association. So I think all of those things, you know, an attorney should be mindful of before they really, you know, commit, move forward.
do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook. And I don't think you can join an association, you know, expecting to get work right away from it, right? I know a lot of lawyers out there, they're like, well, you know, I tried this or I tried this networking group. 3 months later, I haven't gotten anything out of it. So it's not worth it. I think the mindset, and I think you talked about this a little bit, is, you know, establishing yourself as a helpful resource, consistently attend meetings and provide value where you can without overpromising and under-delivering. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, and I'll be honest. I mean, first of all, it's all right, you know, to make mistakes. Sometimes, you know, you join an association, you get inactive, you know, you probably need to give it maybe more than 3 months, maybe more than a quarter. So let's say you give it 6 months to a year as far as membership. And, you know, then you have to obviously assess, you know, where you're at if you're not meeting the prospects and, you know, possibilities that you were hoped for. And it's happened before. I've seen it, you know, at my firm and even for myself, as, you know, being a marketing and business development professional. There's been a few associations that some of our other offices have been active with their chapters. So we're a statewide firm. So I joined, you know, the LA groups up here. And, you know, sometimes it, you know, it's worked out and I, you know, continue to be heavily involved. And there's been some other associations that either myself or the attorney, we did stay with it for at least a year or so. And unfortunately, it just didn't really lead to the opportunities that we were hoping for. Obviously, it's been, you know, a bit of a challenge the last couple of years as far as, you know, in-person marketing and business development. Everything, you know, as we know, has primarily been over Zoom and other platforms. But now is really because we're at a point where, you know, the U.S. and L.A. and, you know, the major cities have reopened again, is now a really great time to, you know, be able to meet up in person. And there should be, you know, obviously more opportunities for that to happen this year as opposed to the past couple of years.
Makes perfect sense. And to what extent do your lawyers talk to their clients about what associations they belong to and, you know, where there might be a need or an opportunity for them to also join that association?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know, you know, again, being a client relations director, you know, at my firm, we heavily emphasize our relationships with clients. And anybody at the firm, whether it's an attorney or a staff member that has interactions with clients, we can also call them a client relationship manager as well. And certainly, you know, one of the things that we encourage, you know, when connecting with clients is to listen to clients. It doesn't have to always be about us talking, but it's listen to them, have them share. And I know I've personally have encouraged, you know, majority of our attorneys here in the LA office that I support, you know, to get active and, you know, find out where, you know, they can possibly fit in, whether it's, you know, attending events, whether it's, you know, they see themselves more as, you know, preparing articles or, you know, preparing a PowerPoint for a presentation. I think it's, you know, again, when you're, you know, working with attorneys, obviously over time you learn what their strengths are, what their comfort level is. And so I want to, again, find the right opportunities with them for the associations and also their comfort level. Some of them, you know, again, they prefer not to do a lot of in-person events. Maybe they, you know, get nervous or just, you know, feel anxiety towards that. So I think, again, it's finding the attorneys in their strongest areas and, you know, collaborating with them on that. And I find that usually goes as well when trying to encourage an attorney to get further involved. But certainly it all starts, to get back to your question, as far as, you know, engaging with clients, find out from them the groups and the associations that are important to them.
And to what extent has your firm used associations as a way to cross-sell services, right? So maybe one of your lawyers joins an association that a client also belongs to, and then maybe strategically you bring in another lawyer that does a different type of work at your firm as an opportunity to, you know, broaden the understanding of what the firm actually can do and what the services that it provides.
Yeah, that is actually a really great question, Guy, because, you know, cross-selling, cross-marketing is obviously critical, I think, for any, you know, professional services, you know, law firm. And especially over the past 2 years, where I think so much of our, you know, the firm I work for, and obviously we're always looking, you know, for prospects and clients that don't use us. But I think so much of the past 2 years has been, you know, working on our existing clientele, making sure that they, you know, are fully aware of all of our capabilities, that we are, you know, landlord-tenant law is obviously, you know, one of our major areas of concentration, but we do a lot of areas, other areas as well. And so, and I try to be mindful of that when I'm, you know, there's coming up with an event and I'm going to be bringing an attorney, like, you know, I feel like there's an attorney that maybe, you know, we do obviously have landlord-tenant attorneys that are going to go with me to events, but, you know, we may have also attorneys that do more general litigation or deal with employment matters or fair housing or what have you, that I think also could be important to the clients that or prospective clients that are going to be at this event. And I, you know, certainly, you know, the last thing I want is for a client to not realize, you know, all of our capabilities. It, you know, it pains me if they find out, oh, I didn't realize you do that, because then it means maybe I'm not doing my job as far as, you know, just the promotion and the marketing of the firm. So I try to be mindful of that. And I, you know, encourage, you know, attorneys from other practice groups to get involved and to see what opportunities there might be for them as far as getting involved.
You know, Michael, one of the things I've found is attorneys love to go to events. They like to go to events, they like, whether it's a networking event or a CLE event or industry trade show. But they're not very good at follow-ups, right? They go to the event, maybe they'll get a couple of business cards, then they get back to the office, they get started focusing on their work, and they forget about following up. Is there something that you guys do at your firm to help with that follow-up and to make sure that the investment that they're making of their time into these events or associations actually results in something, even, you know, if it's not immediate down the road?
You bring up a good point. Because, yeah, I know that's kind of the reputation for some attorneys that, you know, they go to events, but then, you know, the follow-up afterwards, it just kind of dies out and you lose on that momentum. Again, the firm I work for, since there's client relation directors in each of our offices, so, you know, each of the, obviously, attorneys do have support. So I think if an attorney is working at a firm that's fortunate to have, you know, a marketing and BD team, certainly, you know, go to your resources and, you know, follow up with them, see, you know, how best to go about doing follow-up. But maybe if it's an attorney, you know, who doesn't have all those resources, you know, available to them, I think it's just, you know, in terms of just doing follow-up, obviously it should be done, you know, rather quickly from an event, you know, in the next day or at least sometime later that week. You don't want the lead to go cold at all. So I think, you know, being mindful of that, maybe asking if they want to get added to their, you know, the mailing list. My firm, you know, we send out quite a few mailings to clients on a weekly basis, and it's a good way to stay connected with clients. So I think, you know, asking if they, you know, want to be part of the mailing list. And then, you know, again, just, you know, depending on how the conversation goes, how you met them at the event, maybe it's you set up your own meeting, you know, whether now, you know, we can go back to actually having in-person lunches again and meetings again, or maybe it just takes place, you know, over, you know, Zoom perhaps. But I think you just, again, you want to do that follow-up with who you met. You don't need to obviously be super overly aggressive, but I think, you know, if you don't hear back right away, you know, there's no harm, I think, the following week to also do a gentle nudge or a follow-up. And then chances are, hopefully, if this person, you know, continues to be involved in the association and you'll see them at future events as well. And it may be that they also, they're feeling you out. They need to kind of also have a comfort level. So you may not necessarily get, you know, business right away, But again, you want to continue to connect and keep those lines of communication open. So when the opportunity is there, you know, you can, you know, collaborate and hopefully, you know, get that work.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're running out of time. I do have one or two other questions. One of the questions is, you know, associations, I've been involved in a few. I'm currently involved in a couple. I have found them to be beneficial, not just from a business development perspective, but also as a way to expand my network. You know, it helps with my personal growth. Have you found that? And, you know, what do you think about that concept?
I wholeheartedly endorse what you just said. I know I've benefited greatly, both personally as well as, you know, professionally in the work I do with, you know, the clients I work with, because they know when I'm signed up to be an event, I'm going to be there. Obviously, I do PR for my firm. And I think just, again, having that presence there, knowing that, you know, KTS, somebody from KTS is there, I think is always appreciated. I think also, you know, on a personal level, I think one of the great reasons to be part of an association and to be active is if you ever find yourself maybe between jobs and you're looking for a job, you want to be able to go back to your network. And certainly there's probably no better network for you than being involved in an association. And let's say when you were employed, you weren't active with that group. So if you start showing up to these events expecting you're going to get a job lead or something, they don't necessarily know who you are at all. And to me, you know, you probably made a mistake in terms of not getting more involved when you were, you know, perhaps still employed. And, you know, to expect now that you're going to get something from this group or make contacts when they're just now meeting you is probably not really realistic. So I definitely think for, you know, personal level and for that reason, associations are really helpful. And it's just, you know, again, to be mindful to continue to stay with it and be active.
Excellent. All right. Well, Michael, we have run out of time, unfortunately. I really enjoyed learning about associations from you. Before I let you go, however, to our audience, if you can maybe share one bit of advice, whether they're a marketing professional, a law firm, or a lawyer, about getting involved with associations?
I think the best thing is just try not to get intimidated. I think some associations and some members, you know, people are just getting started may feel intimidated. Sometimes it may seem like there's a click. So I think, you know, you kind of got to, you know, get through that and, you know, see, you know, kind of break through that, I think is probably the most important thing. And also if you're, you know, if you're somebody that's maybe a little bit more shy or introverted, I think, you know, again, going to events, talking to people that maybe also appear to maybe be not at ease, maybe they're looking at their phone, they're by themselves, go try to connect with those people. Because usually my experience is they'll remember that. And down the road, when they see you at future events, future meetings, you know, they'll be happy to see you and they'll appreciate that you took the effort to get to know them.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time, Michael. It's been really a pleasure to have you on the show and sharing some of your great advice and suggestions with regards to associations. For our audience, if you enjoyed today's episode and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. Michael, thank you again for being on the show. It was really great to have you, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Guy. I really appreciated it as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, to our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We will see you next time.